Hello and welcome to episode number 54 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is August 28th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones too, and we are both at McFlugel.com. Show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/54. So kind of some fun news for us before we get started. Yesterday was our five-year birthday doing the website and the blog and everything. So I guess it was August 27th of 2012 is when we originally had the site, back when it was mcflugel.wordpress.com. But I can't believe it's been 5 years already. A couple years ago, we just had the first anniversary of the podcast. So
that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Onwards and upwards. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our episode topic.
Yes. So thank you, Rollo, and thank you, everyone, for listening. The big news this weekend was the hurricane down in Texas, Hurricane Harvey, hit Corpus Christi and up to Houston. It was pretty devastating there, the amount of rain that got dumped on the city. It's a real rough time down there. But what we are hearing, or some of what we're hearing, is that there's some price gouging going on. I'm going to read some excerpts from a CNBC article that I read today called Price Gouging During Hurricane Harvey. This is by Michelle Fox at CNBC. So she writes, there have already been more than 500 complaints about price gouging during Hurricane Harvey over the weekend, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton told CNBC on Monday. That includes reports of up to $99 for a case of water, hotels that are tripling or quadrupling their prices, and fuel going for $4 to $10 a gallon, he said in an interview with Closing Bell. There are things you can't do in Texas, Paxton said. There are significant penalties if you price gouge in a crisis like this. Anyone who does so can be hit with a $20,000 fine per occurrence, or up to $250,000 if the victim is someone age 65 or older. As for whether there will be a shortage of goods, Paxton said, the big retailers are in the process of reestablishing supply chains as quickly as they can. Quote, I don't think as large as our country is, as large as Texas is, that supply is ultimately going to be that big of an issue, end quote. So, Rollo, what do you think about price gouging? Is it really greedy? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Let's hear your thoughts.
I think it depends on the individual setting the price, whether he's being greedy or not. But it's just an economic reality, as when supply diminishes and you either have an increase in demand or demand stays the same, or demand doesn't decrease at the same, well, a rate that would keep prices the same, the price is going to go up.
Especially if demand is increased and supply is decreased.
Right. And I think we have that as the case right now, especially before the storm happened. Maybe the supply was the same before the storm, but demand certainly went up. So you had people getting all sorts. It happens every time there's a storm. People run to the store and buy the essentials to make sure that they have it ready or have it available to them. And a store wants to make sure that they have their shelves stocked, because if people hear that, store XYZ down the street doesn't have bottles of water, then maybe people don't go shopping there because they're in a rush. They're trying to get everything done before the storm happens, and they don't want to have to go to seven different stores to get everything they need.
Well, that's all good and well that you like your economics, but $99 for a case of water when these people are getting flooded out of their homes, you think that's okay?
Well, why do they need water if it's halfway up the walls in there? Yeah. That's a mean joke.
That is a mean joke. I'm being, as I laughed as I said it, because I mean, we kind of think that's absurd. But why is that absurd? Why should they charge $99 for a case of water?
So that everyone can have access to it. Because if they kept $6, you know, $5 or $6, however much it costs for a case of water, let's make it easy. Let's say it's $10 normally for a case of water. And it doesn't even matter what these prices are. I don't think we've made a crunch in the numbers, but if they kept the price, the normal price, people are going to go in since there's now an increase in demand and buy it all up.
Buy more than they need, right?
Right. And so when someone else, and also people understand, most people have a pretty strong sense of basic economics that if they know before a storm that bottled water is going to be something a lot of people want, then even if they only need, say, two cases of bottled water for themselves, they might buy 50 cases knowing that they can stand outside the store or a street corner or somewhere and turn around and sell those cases of water for $100 each. And make a lot of money off it.
That's just kind of the reality here. I mean, even if government stepped in and said, no, the price of water can't go above $10, well, all these stores would be sold out almost immediately because of what you just said. People are gearing up for the storm. And whoever gets there first will get all of it or as much as they want. And it'll be gone quickly. And people who need it later won't be able to get it.
Right.
But the thing is, then that person can then turn around and sell it for a price. So it's not, I'm not arguing that it's wrong for that person to buy it and sell it, but you're going to get the prices gouged somewhere along the line.
Right.
There's no way to stop it. It will create a black market for water, and the people who bought up all the water will now be selling the water. So even if the government stepped in, I mean, I guess they could try to go after everybody everywhere. But we know how well they are at stopping black markets.
Right.
Excuse me.
So it's funny that you think, well, it's also, was it the attorney general was given the quotes in that story?
Yeah. Yes.
What a jerk. He sits there and says, I think the supply chain should be fine. Okay. You're every business owner. You're making the decision for every supply chain. I mean, even I work in an oil refinery and there's an issue with getting a valve we need because it's shipping out of Houston. And that's where a lot of our supplies come from, is that area. And so even for us, we're outside, you know, we're on the East Coast. We're being affected by the storm in a negative way because they don't have the supply chains. A lot of them have been severed. It is extremely difficult to get stuff in and out. And since there's now, they're loading it up with other things they got to send through there, then it may not be profitable for someone to, even though ways to get in and out of the city may be possible, that's not where people are going to direct the resources now. So maybe they're trying to get medicine in there or boats or something in there. They don't have the shipping space for other things. So, I mean, I'm just sitting here off the top of my head coming up with this stuff. There's a bajillion possibilities of that. So for the attorney general to sit there and be like, oh, I think it'll be okay.
Well,
we don't have to worry about that. It's what a jerk.
You're not wrong, but nobody. I don't think anyone's concerned about the long-term supply of water in Houston. Of course, eventually the water will go away. They'll rebuild. It'll be like, you know, 5 years or whatever years from now, we'll look back and Houston will look very similar that it did 2 weeks ago. And there'll be plenty of water at the supermarkets and it'll be $5 a case. I don't think anyone's concerned about that. The price gap is for today. Because right now, people desperately need water. And so by having that price so high, that also discourages people from wasting it, right? Mm-hmm. I know myself, we'll buy a case of water, and I'll put a couple water bottles in the car, and they'll just be there. And then it'll be in the summer, and they'll be 100 – I don't know how hot they'll be. They'll be very hot. They're not even worth drinking, so they just sit in my car forever. And I may just leave them there. I might not. But that's so in a situation like we have in Houston, excuse me, that wouldn't happen because people need their water. They're desperate for it. They are willing to pay a lot of money for it. And this is how we're assured it's going to the best uses. So during this time when people need to drink water, people probably won't be cleaning the side of their house or their cars or whatever because water is expensive. So now we're going to divert water from things we normally use it to drinking. And it's very, so it's very important that we have price gouging because it more efficiently allocates the resources that are scarce to begin with so that people can drink water. Same with gasoline and all the other goods there. People will be driving their, if it's $10 a gallon, the only people who are going to be buying it are the people who really need to get somewhere now.
Right.
And that's what price gouging does. And so once these waters recede and Houston is back to the city it always was, if they want to keep their prices at $10 for a gallon of gas, well, the gas station across the street is probably just going to keep theirs to the market level and drive them out of business. Same with the water. You can't sell water for $100 a case when there's a good enough supply. So when the attorney general says, I think the supply is fine, we have a big country. Well, of course, there's a big supply of water in the United States. It's just not in Houston right now today.
Right.
And that's what's important. You want enough water for the people to get by for the next couple of days while we work on the supply chains. And the way to make sure that people aren't wasting water or buying more than they need is to raise the price.
Yeah, and you touched on gasoline, and I want to, since that's near and dear to my heart, I want to touch on that too, because that's something that anyone in the U.S. and maybe even around the world is going to be affected by this. Houston is a huge energy hub in the United States and even around the world. So as a result of Hurricane Harvey, 10 refineries have been shut down there, and that represents 22% of the Gulf Coast refining. So that's, wow. That's huge. That is a major stress on the supply of gasoline and other refinery products in the United States. So the price of gas is going to go up, and it follows the same exact principles as the bottles of water. You're not, maybe if you don't really, and it may only go up a couple cents, so you might not realize, but let's say it went up $10, went all the way up to $10 a gallon to just do a really exaggerated case. You're probably going to make sure that you're driving to and from work every day, but are you going to take that, 100-mile trip this weekend? Probably
that extra ride around the block to listen to the end of the song or whatever the case is.
Yeah. So what that does is it makes sure that since you're not even wasting, I don't want to call it wasting gasoline, but not using it for the things that you really need it for, it's making it available for other people to use.
Right. And just as not that it matters because these are all voluntary exchanges, right? If someone's willing to pay $99 for a case of water, then that person benefited from having the water as well as the person selling it. But why shouldn't that person selling it be rewarded for providing water in a time when people really need water?
Exactly.
Shouldn't we be thanking that person for having $99 cases of water? Because guess how many I have? Zero. Yeah. So shouldn't we be thanking them instead of ripping them? I think that's a good thing to have water for people in a time of need.
But it's not the what's it called thing, the trendy thing to do. It's so much easier to just criticize it as mean and nasty and greedy and just go straight off emotion. But
I do understand that because
I get it too.
Look, you go to public school, you don't learn a thing about economics. Yeah. So why would we expect these? And I say that somewhat sarcastically, but not really. Nobody knows anything about economics if you walk down the streets and talk to anyone at all. They don't get it. They think a price is set by the store manager because it's fair or something. I don't know. If you want to confuse someone, ask them how someone comes up with a price and why is it that the gas prices are pretty much the same at every gas station in town or within a couple cents. They don't know. They think it's just what it is. I have no idea. But so I guess I understand people who are used to buying a $5 or $6 case of water being upset that it's $100 when people really need it. But what you don't realize is what we already explained is that for $5, yeah, someone will go in with $100 and buy up all the water they can. Now the other people don't have water and that person can do whatever they want with the water. They can drink it. They can save it for themselves. They could sell it.
Oh yeah, and
I don't
mean to suggest that someone would be happy that, oh, there's a $99 case of water. I guess I got to spend $99 for it. But
right, but the fact I will be happy that it's on the shelf when
right.
I walk
and,
in.
And the fact that they spend the money on it shows that it's better. It's the better option than not doing it. It was Steve Patterson had a great little podcast episode
on that, yeah,
about price gouging, about how he was, I don't know if it was a true story or he just kind of made up the example, but he was cooking dinner and
he pitched it as a true story. So
was it? Okay.
Yeah, he was talking about Thanksgiving dinner making
potatoes. Right. Yeah, it was the mashed potatoes, and he's about last thing he had to do was add the milk to the mashed potatoes, have dinner ready, and he opens and doesn't have any milk. So he runs to the store. The store manager had no idea that he was having this, that Steve was having this crisis at his house. We ran out of milk, but the store manager was running low on milk, so he raised the price. So
it was also, yeah, not to nitpick, but he was in rural Virginia. He said to get to the town where a supermarket was something like a 40-minute drive. So we went to the gas station right around the corner. So it's kind of off the beaten path in the middle of nowhere. Price was high for milk.
Right. And so what that did was it made sure that if someone's just kind of goes into the gas station, buy some gas, walks in the store, maybe wants to buy a pack of gum, and says, oh, you know, I think, I can get a gallon of milk, and goes and see that it's a higher price, knowing that if he just waits the next day to go to the supermarket to get it, then he's probably not going to buy it. So that allowed Steve the ability to make sure it was, or had the ability to buy it, because it was still on the shelf, because you had people that were, making decisions based on cost going in. And it's amazing how it works out, because none of the other gas station patrons had no idea that Steve had this milk crisis. The gas station owner had no idea that Steve had this milk crisis. Steve has no idea necessarily that the gas station owner's making these decisions on price. He just goes in and it just, everything just works out that way. So it's kind of a beautiful thing that we just take for granted.
Absolutely. But hey, you were talking about a meme, maybe?
Oh yeah. So the kind of the cover story I have for this episode is, I just of course closed the tab. So let me pop it open again. But it's a picture of, it's a cartoon of someone drowning in a pool, and there's a lifeguard sitting there on the stand, and on the lifeguard shirt it says Big Pharma. And the lifeguard is holding up a lifesaver and saying, I'm jacking the price of this up 450%. You good with that? And memes are great because they can take an idea and compress it down into a very simple, easily digestible thing. But they can also just oversimplify and just completely misrepresent what's going on, which is exactly what this cartoon is doing.
Would you have to ask that cartoon? So it's Big Pharma, you know, saying that we're just going to charge you, you're dying and you need these drugs to live, and I'm going to charge you all your money. Why? So why is that happening? Why are they charging so much? Why isn't someone else coming into the market and selling that drug for less money and still be profitable?
Right.
I mean, what is, not even rhetorical, what is the reason? Why don't you go start a drug company and sell it for less if you're so great?
That's a good question. And well, also,
one answer I could throw out there is you need permission.
Yeah. Well,
you're not allowed to. One, we have these IP laws, and you have the FDA who has to approve everything that goes out there. And how long does that take? And how much money does that take? So there is no market for drugs. So you can look at just about any other product you want and need. You can get it fairly cheap, I think. I mean, can you think of any examples where people are just killing you, and unless there's some other third party like the government keeping market players out?
I don't think so, because if even to take this example in the cartoon completely literally, that it's a lifeguard on the beach and okay. charging 450% on this lifesaver, that would work maybe one time, because that huge that way over priced lifesaver sends signals to the rest of the market that says there's money to be made here. So all of a sudden there's competition. The next time someone's drowning in the water, you've got several lifeguards there, each at different prices, ready to really bidding themselves down just to get your business. And also, it would only take one time, because I'm sure that someone would much rather contract with someone and say, in case this happens, this is what we're going to, this is the agreed price to pay for it, like an insurance type thing.
Right.
So it's kind of, it's really just a silly,
it's a silly, it's of course
of what's going on. So I just, I thought it was a kind of a stupid meme, but it made sense. Meme.
It's a little political.
So I added it. We wanted to talk about it just because it's just another example of a different industry. It's right. All this talk about jacking up prices and gas and making sure we have it. I better buy some gas soon before the price goes up, so I have enough for my tractor. So
yeah, got it in. Anyway, I think that is an important point though about the drug companies, and the prices being so high and people being angry at them, when it's not. I mean, sure, you can blame the drug company, they're the one setting the price, but the reason is there's no regulation. There's no market regulation. There's right. plenty of government regulation, but there's no one else who can come in and undercut them
right.
and still be profitable. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. And you're never going to get it through your bureaucrats, because guess what? The drug companies have more money than you. They're in the pockets of these guys. They're kind of working together. They're not there for you.
They're not kind of working together. They are working together.
Right, right. They are. And they're not working for you, and they don't care about the prices, and they don't care about how much money you have to spend on their drugs. But if you opened it up and have more competition, as we see when generic drugs finally enter the market, they're way cheaper. So if we just got rid of some of these laws, it'd be a heck of a lot easier to enter the market and sell your drug at a profitable price, which is affordable. So,
yeah, let's just be glad that the selling of bottled water isn't as regulated as the pharmaceutical industry, because then you'd be normally buying a case of water for $99. It wouldn't be in during a crisis.
There'd only be a few sellers who got permission because they were approved because their water's clean, and no one else could come in and sell the water at a lower price that's still profitable. So we'd have a few producers producing all the water. Or selling all the water, and you'd be stuck with whatever price they decide to give you. So thank you for having markets in water.
And you're welcome.
We can get them for $99 in Houston when you really need it.
Yeah.
So free market story, you got anything?
Yeah, I do. And it happened right before we went, started recording. And I know I talk about Amazon all the time, but we're kind of thinking about what are we going to talk about as our success story? And it kind of happened right in front of me. So before the episode started, Slappy and I were kind of talking about some of the behind the scenes workings of McFlugel and what our plans and
how the sausage is made.
Yes. A lot of our plans and goals and everything. And I said, yeah, I really just got to like set up a schedule for myself. And you know what'd be good is to just buy a whiteboard and every week just plan out each night so I can really make the most out of my time and making sure I'm spending the time that I want to on each of the different projects, even outside of McFlugel, just even other things in my life, just putting a schedule together. And you know what, I would put that buy a whiteboard and just write it out and put it right on the wall behind where I normally sit, so it's always staring at me. I said, you know what, before we start recording, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy a whiteboard. So I went on my phone. I have a little Amazon app, typed in whiteboard, scrolled to one that I thought was big enough, went buy with one click, and it's coming by Wednesday night. So what, like, that's amazing. It's amazing that we have the technology where I just pick up something that's always in my pocket, in this case, sitting on the kitchen table in front of me, and within a couple clicks, it'll be here in 2 days.
Right. That's an awesome service, right? Why would they do that?
They're just nice people.
Yeah, they just do it out of the kindness of their heart. It's a good thing we have such altruistic people working at Amazon.
Yeah. But can you imagine, even just a few years ago, that didn't exist?
No, right. And that's the point I'm getting at, is like, before, you would have had to make time to go to Staples or Office Max or wherever they sell whiteboards. You'd have to do it while they're open, which usually, I guess, 9 or 10 o'clock. I don't know, but it's after work. Amazon figured out a way to do it much easier, much, much simpler, where you just literally pick up your phone and order, and it's there 2 days later. Now, if you needed one tonight, you'd have to go out and get one, and you might have to pay more for it.
Right. Or, but hey, there's that option.
You'd be willing to pay more to have it now.
Right.
Instead, you're willing to delay it a couple days and pay a good price, or even whatever you did, the convenience that you wanted to pay for. I don't know what you paid for it, and I don't know what the going rate for a whiteboard is. So.
Neither do I, which is funny, because as I was buying, I saw the price. I'm like, oh, I guess that's good. Like, you, there's not even that you trust it, but you just kind of assume that
either
on a
way,
website like Amazon, the price is kind of at a reasonable spot.
You do assume that, but say you went into a store tomorrow and saw one for 50 cents, same exact board you bought, would you be angry?
No.
Why not?
Because it was worth, when I bought it on Amazon, it was worth the price.
Yeah, at that time. You're willing to give up your money for it, huh?
Right. And you know what the beautiful thing about that too is? That if that happened, I would buy it for 50 cents and then cancel the order. And they don't charge you for it.
It's pretty incredible.
If it showed up, I would just send it right back, and they don't, I don't even know. I haven't sent anything back in Amazon in forever. I forget if they charge you for shipping or not. But regardless, even if they did charge me for shipping, I would still make money.
Yeah, you'd still make out on it.
So all these things, the point that why we do these little free market success stories is to just get you thinking, and to get ourselves thinking. Because I mean, we've been doing this for 5 years and have written over 500 articles. And it's funny how we say, Slappy and I will lament to each other, like, oh, I just don't even know what to write anymore. Almost feels like we've written about everything that there is to write, which is not true at
not
all.
Not true, not close to true.
Like, yeah, it's absurd how false that statement is. But just, I didn't expect to kind of have these little side conversations and these ideas that popped up just about talking about buying a whiteboard online. So it just goes to show how amazing the market is, and how talking about one little tiny little thing can open up so many other little free market success stories. So it's really, truly amazing. And it just goes to show that it's the individuals acting voluntarily that is what makes the world go around. And it is the state that is acting in ways that hinders it. But despite the state, those market interactions still make the world go around. It's kind of a... yeah, but not clumsy at all, where I just said one thing and then repeated it again. But I think you get the point. I hope.
Yeah. That's the point of the podcast, so let's hope.
I mean, I delivered it. I thought my delivery was good. Like, it was kind of dramatic, and I spaced the words out well in the end. But
we'll review the film at the end and see.
I don't want to hear that again. The words weren't good, but the way I said the words were decent.
So we'll go with that.
Yeah, kind of the opposite of when I tell jokes.
I purposely did that one.
Thanks.
All right, well, with that, check us out, McFlugel.com. Twitter. Where else are we? YouTube.
Yeah, I just added some. It's one of the things I worked on this weekend. Yeah, we were on a podcast. Both Slappy and I were on Jeremiah Harding's podcast the other day, or I guess last week. Talk about free market regulation and the industries that we work on. And talking to Jeremiah, he suggested a couple of other places to get on social media. So we've expanded where we're at, and we're not going to stop using the things we normally do. I guess on social media, I'm most active on Twitter. We're on Facebook too. We post there. And you'll be able to find all of these links, of course, at mcflugel.com/54. But we've added Gab, which is kind of the, like a Twitter thing. Also, we now have a Steemit page where we'll be posting stuff. And I'll probably be posting stuff outside of the libertarian stuff. It'll be a good place for me to maybe talk about some gardening and cooking and the weird bugs I find outside the house. And fruitcake and tractors, probably. All of my wonderful interests. And also, we now have a Patreon page and also a Patreon page. So if you feel the need to send us money,
if you like what you're doing, what we're doing, if you want it to keep going,
yeah,
you know, we would certainly appreciate any support.
Yep. So with that, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.